Welcome to the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast, where we prove that you are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. This podcast will help you live your best life no matter where you started or where you're at right now. I am your host, Nelson Tressler. This episode is brought to you by I Got Smarter, Goals Elevated. I Got Smarter gives you all the tools, knowledge, and support to finally achieve your life's biggest goals. No matter what your goals are, I Got Smarter is the program to help you achieve them once and for all. Available at igotsmarter.com or the app stores. As always, on the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast, we are all about to get lucky with some words of wisdom from today's guest. Birdie Lynn is the Amazon number one best-selling author of Through the Storm of Early Trauma. She is out there spreading the message that victims of abuse are not alone. She is helping people make the next chapter in their lives the best chapter in their lives. Welcome to the show, Birdie.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. Like, I really appreciate it, and I'm excited to talk to your audience.
Yeah, no, we appreciate you having you on here. One thing I'd like to do is I like to start off the show by my guests giving me their best piece of advice, their best quote, their best philosophy, you know, that our listeners can get right off the bat, something that's going to have them writing it down. You have anything like that that you can give us?
I was just asked recently what my favorite quote was. And I think, my favorite quote of all time is let your attitude determine your altitude.
Nice.
So yeah, and it's so true.
What's that quote mean to you? When you hear that say, what does that mean to you?
It means everything. So literally for me, it means if I can control my emotions, then I can control the environment, the situation. And so when I have an attitude and it's a bad attitude, I'm not going to do very well with whoever I'm working with or just in that moment. So
great. I'm going to give you a good quote because your name's Birdie. Okay. Now, this is one of my favorite quotes is
okay.
A bird is not afraid of landing on a branch because they're not putting all of their trust in the branch. Their trust is in their wings. And that's, you know, when I read your story and came across it, I thought that was a perfect quote for you because, you're not worried about that branch breaking because your faith is not in that branch. Your faith is in your own wings.
I love that.
I said a little bit better the second time. So you absolutely can use that with your name. So
I get free quotes today. All right.
There you go. Well, let's get into your trauma a little bit before we get into your triumph. Can you give us the 10,000 foot version of what you went through?
A very high level version. Yeah. All right. I call it my fast food version. So essentially, I wanted to tell the story of how I overcame challenging moments in my childhood. And so I just, you know, I went through being molested by an older sibling just going through that for about a year and explaining those emotions and thoughts that generated as a young child from 6 to 7. And then, you know, experiencing bullying and then, you know, going through that, going through just life and some of the challenges being a minister's child, PK, pastor's child, pastor's kid is what they call them, presented. And then, trying to commit suicide in middle school and in high school, being raped 3 times. And so that is something that, and losing, also as a young girl, seeing a neighbor murdered, and losing a really good friend and confidant, to murder. So just going through that just within, that, you know, just short 18 year time span, it was a lot to process. And I carried a lot through adulthood. So I just explained a little bit about what that was and how I powered through and kind of gave those steps.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a very trying childhood. You went through a lifetime of trauma, you know, in a short period of time. And I think a lot of our listeners have gone through, you know, that same kind of that tough childhood. We talk a lot about the victim mindset on this show. Was there any of a victim mindset popping up in your brain? Like, you know, why is this happening to me as you're going through this trauma?
Absolutely. Shortly before I committed suicide, I remember, attempted to commit suicide. I'm still here. I was running around the track and the people bullying me were running right behind me and taunting and teasing. And I just kept thinking, and I remember thinking, why are they choosing to pick on me? Like, why you have those thoughts? And it just came down to just, just despair, distraught. Like I literally thought that this is how the rest of my life would be. And I knew that at that point, I didn't want to live that life. And so I didn't want to be on earth anymore. And so I thought I would do them a favor and God a favor, because obviously he had made a mistake. And I'll try to take my own life.
And so you attempted suicide, and thankfully were not successful.
Yeah.
Was that a crossroads in your life? When you weren't successful, did you feel like you were left on this earth for a bigger purpose? And how old were you when you attempted suicide?
I was 13.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so I was 13.
Very young age. Mm-hmm. And so your trauma wasn't over after the suicide attempt, correct?
Absolutely. It wasn't. To answer your question, that was a pivotal moment in my life. I still have just a slight, I can tell that in dents just from those wrist cuts there. But the pivotal moment came when Tequoia, who is a best friend of mine, entered. She just happened to be in the counselor's office that day, and she was able to lift my spirits. I didn't believe a word coming out of her mouth. You know, she was telling me I was beautiful and all these things. I'm like, and I was like, you're just saying that, you know, just that negative emotion that you're in. But she saw something different, and she poured into me and validated my emotions as far as being bullied and being teased. No, I shouldn't be. And with that validation came action. I think it's really important when you're a friend and you're dealing with someone who's going through trauma is to validate their emotions. Yeah, you have every right to feel the way that you do. This is happening to you. But then take action to actually be there and be that ear. Let them know you're praying for them. Hey, let's go get out for lunch. She did all of those things, and I appreciated her for that today, because that was the pivotal moment. I saw hope then, because before I didn't see hope.
Yeah, I love that. And it's a common theme throughout the show, and the people who have gone through trauma is they have that one person or that small group of friends or family that helps them get through that and gives them that hope. I've never attempted suicide or even thought about suicide, but I did go through my mom attempting suicide. So I have that in. And I can't imagine how hopeless it seems in order to want to take your own life and to have those good people surrounding you. Did you seek them out, or did they seek you out? Did they know that you were going through problems and issues and saw this? How did that come about?
When you say people, are you speaking about Sequoia? Or?
Yeah. So the people, okay. So Sequoia was your hope. Did she see you going through this, and did she know that you needed that, or how did that come about?
By the grace of God, like, so she just happened to be in the nurse's office, or I'm sorry, the counseling's office, and I was in the nurse's office, and she heard all of the commotion. And once they realized what was happening, they went back and got her and said, hey, we really think that you could help, you know, be a friend in this moment, because she was always so kind and had this just loving energy, and everybody loved her, you know. And she just came in and she was there for me. Yeah. And so were like Nikki Hurd, you know, rest in peace, and she was murdered, but so was she my freshman year. Sequoia went to a different school. So now here I am in the school, and it was intimidating. But I felt more comfortable at that point because there had been a changing moment, with the people who did bully me. They saw that their actions and what their bullying could do. And so Nikki took me under her wing, and she was told to look out for me from my older sibling. And she told me that she had protected her when she was a freshman. And so therefore she did, you know, the favor and protected me and took me under her wing.
Yeah. And I think there's so many people out there that we don't really understand what a difference we can make in somebody's life if we're just willing to be that friend and to be that hope and take somebody under our wing that we see is hurting. So when you see that opportunity, don't think that there's somebody else that's going to do it. You know, one of my favorite quotes, and I'll screw this up now that it's off the top of my head, but is to be the miracle. And, yes. You know, I think there's so many of us out there that are looking to think that somebody else is going to do it. You know, somebody else will stop and help that, you know, that old lady who has a flat tire along the road. And one of my favorite quotes is to be the miracle. You be that miracle for that person. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so many of us out there that can absolutely do that.
Absolutely.
So I perused your book a little bit, and there were some great nuggets in there that I love. But one of the things that I really liked was seek first to understand. Can you go into a little bit of that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have these steps that I take that I learned to kind of take, you know, through my adult life that I have now applied to my trauma growing up as a child. But understanding why I'm going through the trauma. So like at first you were like, do you ever have that why is this happening to me? Well, you're not really going to get an answer unless you actually seek the answer. So you have to seek to first understand the why behind it. And that means understanding, not understanding particularly because you're in the situation, especially if you're being bullied, you know, you're the one being bullied, and to understand why they're bullying you. So not, you know, it could be physical things like, you know, I didn't have the best of clothes. You know, we were very poor. And so the kids that were teasing me had good clothes. And so they teased me because of my clothes. Or they teased me because my glasses were too big. Like they teased me for whatever they could. They were being mean kids. But when I finally did the work to figure out as an adult, why did they feel the need to tease me? There was something beyond that. They weren't just teasing me because it was fun to do. They were teasing me to make themselves feel and look better. And I learned about this one lady, or one young girl who was really on me and always teasing me. Well, there was something she saw in me that she didn't have. And she actually was living in a shack and in a very bad situation. The only thing that her mother could provide were clothes, and the clothes to where she could look good. Right. But she went through a lot. She went through abuse and everything. So when she came to school, she zoned in on people that she could make feel less than to lift her up. And that's how she chose to handle it. So understanding the why, not just for my pain, but for my attacker's pain, or the person who's inflicting pain or hurt on me. That's what that means to me. And I don't know if you heard, I had an interview that's on my website that my mantra was, just that I would always, like, my go-to is hurt people, hurt people.
If you're ready to take your goal achievement to the next level and finally achieve your life's biggest goals, join us at igotsmarter.com and allow me to be your personal goal guide. Without a doubt, I Got Smarter is the best goal achievement program on the market. All of your goals are waiting for you. Let me and the I Got Smarter community help you live the life of your dreams. Join us at igotsmarter.com or download the app at the app stores. Yeah, and I was going to bring that up. I love that quote. Go into that a little bit, because I think somebody who's getting hurt by somebody, I think if they took a step back and realized that, and a lot of people listening to the show, I think, have gone through bullying for whatever purpose. And when you really look at it, another one of my favorite quotes is, things only have the meaning you're willing to give them. So you get to assign meaning to everything. And if you assign a meaning that this person is hurting me because they're hurting, you know, get into that a little bit, because I love that. And I think if you look at people who are hurting you, that they're hurting, and maybe you can help them overcome that, you know, take it that direction, please.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take it from two different perspectives, from a child and then as an adult, because we have kid bullies and we have adult bullies that we deal with in our life. And adult bullying is very real. A lot of people are like, oh no, they're just very real. So we'll start with from a kid perspective. So as a child, I experienced the bullying, and I was hurting. But what I didn't understand behind that is that they were hurting too. I'll take it from there was a young boy, and I won't say his name for privacy in case someone happens to know him. But, you know, he was a foster kid and he was being abused and bullied and beat up at his foster home. And I know that because he, you know, shared a little bit about it with me. And said that, you know, he was going to have to move schools, because that was the other thing he was doing. He was moving foster homes and having to move schools. And my heart went out, because I saw an effect. He was being bullied and he was bullying others in turn. And so one of the things that I feel like parents, like my parents, definitely I wish that they knew, is that when you're parenting, what goes on in the home affects your child. And even for the foster care system, for the social system, what goes on those foster homes affects that child. So when you're saying this child is bad, or this child is, and you're putting labels on the child, you have to go back to the home. And what I was experiencing inside my house caused me to become withdrawn in school. I didn't act out. There are other kids who, what's going on, if they're being hurt and bullied inside the home, they go and bully others at the school. So that's that hurt people from a child perspective. Now we go into an adult perspective, and you go into work and people are bullying you. You have what we call politics. That's just bullies. And we saw a great example the last 4 years with Donald Trump. Because I've been bullied, he had clear signs of an adult bully. But you know what I thought the whole time, all those 4 years, is what I wonder why he's hurting. And was he bullied? What happened to him that he lashes out on people? in the way that he does, right? So we've all had a clear example of, you know, of what bullying looks like. It's like, how I viewed that with Trump, why is he hurting? What happened to him? Assessing that, that's how I assess hurt people when it comes to now I'm an adult. And I really feel that you can really turn someone who seems and appear to be your enemy and is hurting you and is bullying you at work, you can turn that around and make them your best friend. You know how? All you have to do is ask them about them, because literally it's about them. So asking them, hey, how's your day? Or, hey, I love that blouse that you have on. Maybe they haven't received a compliment in a while and you wouldn't know that, but they're not going to share it. They're just going to bully you, right? Yeah, so that. It's just all about those kind actions, looking at the person's pain who's bullying you. And that's a part of adulting, right? Yeah. And then, you know, in turns, like that pain that they've been inflicting on you now turns, it goes away. And now you have an ally, a friend.
Yeah. No, love that. So a lot of our guests have a fork in the road from where they've kind of gone from their trauma and they've started on their journey to triumph. Do you have a fork in the road that you can share?
I think my fork in the road was when I was raped. So after it happened, the very first time, I didn't know what to do. Of course, I had ran away. I couldn't call the police because I knew they would pick me up. And there was no way I wanted to be behind anybody's bars or go to anybody's jail. And so I didn't report it. You know, he violently raped me. He had to knock me out in order for that to happen. After that happened was a pivotal moment for me. What do I do? I contemplated several things. And you know, I wanted to, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't have anywhere to go. I was trying to find someone. I ran across the street. They kicked me out. When the dad found out I was, you know, I had to run away. Like, I'm like, I just didn't know what to do. And I think in that moment, that fork in the road of so many things, like I could have went and waited and got a knife and killed him. Right in his sleep, or I could have, you know, there's so many ways you can retaliate. And that I thought in that moment, what do I do? And I was able to kind of think and strategize and say, okay, I'm going to only be home and present until I can find somewhere to go when his mom is home. Then I felt safe. He found a way around that. And that's when I got raped by him and another gentleman, another monster again, who came in the middle of the night while I'm just dead asleep. And it was in that moment, like after that, I absolutely needed to go. I didn't care where I would walk the streets until I could walk to find my aunt's house, wherever it is, I just needed to leave. And that was my fork in the road, because I could have chosen at that time to, you know, I was afraid. I still didn't know where to go or how to get to my aunt, but I could have chosen to stay. Yeah. I could have chosen to harm. I could have chosen so many things, but that fork in the road allowed me to pivot and be able to escape fear and move, you know, to safety.
Yeah. And you go into this a lot in your book, but one of the things that stood out to me was that your book comes from hope and not anger. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about your book. Why did you write it? And kind of go from there.
Yeah. So I wanted to instill hope in others who have gone through trauma in their childhood and are still dealing with it as an adult. And also, you know, any adult that's going through current trauma. You know, it's hard when you're going through trauma because everything seems so just, huge and it, you know, right in front of you. How long is this dark cloud, you know, going to continue? But when you're a child, it seems like that's what it is. It's your world. And you don't know, like as a child, I didn't know that life wasn't like that. Right. I'm so new.
Just the way it was, right?
Yeah, it's just what it was.
You didn't have any contrast to it.
No. And so I wanted to instill hope in any child, any teenager, and any adult still dealing with their childhood trauma, that they can get through it. And I wanted to share outlets of how I got through it and what I used. So I wanted to instill hope in others and not to leave them hopeless.
Right. Well, as we're winding down here, I as you can tell, I love quotes and I write a bunch of them down. So I like to ask our guests a few quotes and kind of just get their take on what these quotes mean to them. So
yeah.
The first one is, you don't die if you fall into water. You die if you don't swim.
Yes. Well, that's powerful. Yeah. Seeing that I almost died for not swimming. You know, that's just saying that, to me, that means faith without works is dead. Like, you can't have faith and not do the works behind it, right? So yeah. You have to be able to do the work so that you can swim.
Yeah, love it.
And not die.
Yeah, love it. Okay, how about this one? There is nothing more powerful than a changed mind. And I think you can relate to this.
Oh, yeah. You know, that speaks to me. And I'm such a sponge. I like being a sponge and soaking up knowledge. And that changes and impacts my mind when I do. And I'm able to, you know, pivot quickly. I'm able to adapt to change quickly. And I'm able to not only adapt to the change, but adapt to the environment that the change brings. So I know I've heard a lot of people in my life saying, I just don't know how you can move from one state to another state and just still be okay. Like nothing ever happened. Like you've been living there for years. And I'm like, you know, I've just been able to do it because I'm able to, okay, you know what, this is happening. I have processes I go through. This is happening and I got to make this work and let's do this.
Right. Love it. All right. Last one. Growth takes place during your lowest times. Was that true in your case?
Yes. And it's also true that somewhere in the Bible, I'm not a Bible person, but I know that somewhere in the Bible. So like when you're meek and you're at your lowest, you are actually winning. And I know that that sounds so like backwards, but if I never went through those things, I never would have learned to power through. I never would have learned, you know, significant right from wrong. I wouldn't have learned the lessons that I have to be able to avoid those same lessons moving forward in life. So that is absolutely true. I love that quote.
Well, now you got me on another one. I said that was the last one, but I'm going to give you another one now. Okay. Rock bottom can be a great foundation to start to build the life that you want. And that's kind of what I took away from what you just said with your, with your Bible scripture there. So love that. Well, Birdie, let's tell everybody where they can get in touch with you and where they can get your book.
Well, this is always an exciting part. I want everyone to know that you can go onto Amazon and you can look up Through the Storm of Early Trauma and you will find my book. We have an ebook, paperback, hardcover, and audio. And then you can also go on to, I developed a workbook to my book. I know that's like not like out of the norm, but I wanted for anyone who's interested in just taking a deeper dive into, you know, the trauma and how to process that, I give those steps that I took in that workbook and you can find it on birdylynn.com. So that's B-Y-R-D-Y lynn.com and find the workbook there. I have a journal because I love journaling and writing out my thoughts. And you can also find like just some promotional swag that I just created just to uplift everyone.
Yeah, I love your logo. That's very unique.
Thank you.
And a lot of little things in there that I was kind of looking at. So Bertie, thank you so much. A great conversation. Thank and thank you for what you're doing and you know, thriving and going out there and helping other people who are struggling with childhood trauma and just incredible. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Nelson.
Thank you for listening to the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast. We would also like to thank our sponsors, I Got Smarter, Goals Elevated. No matter what your goals are, I Got Smarter is the program to help you achieve them once and for all. If you like this episode of the Unlucky Sperm Club podcast, you'll love my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, available at Amazon and Audible. Help your friends and family get lucky too by sharing this show with them. If you'd like to connect with me personally, please go to nelsontressler.com. Remember, never let your past poison your potential or your life's purpose. Until next time, be lucky.